Hello, everybody. You are listening to the latest episode for No Free Rides, one of the coolest disability podcasts on the internet, where we cover a full spectrum of issues pertaining to disability, issues from dating and sex to traveling to coping to whatever we can think of. We try to make this podcast as timely and as fun as possible, at the same time informing people about disability issues. So thanks for listening. Today is March 27th, I believe, or is it 28th? Let me look. It's 28th, 2011, and this is our podcast for the month of March. This podcast is brought to you by EasyStand.com. They make awesome standing frames, and they deliver them worldwide, and they have helped thousands of people up on their feet again that could not stand otherwise. So if you're interested in a really great standing frame, definitely check out the standing frames at easystand.com. So today, everybody, I decided to have a guy on the show. It's been a while since we had a gentleman on the program, and I decided to have a guy that I met recently who lives in Minneapolis, and he's also a blogger for EasyStand.com. He's also a quadriplegic, and he's really interesting. I'll tell you more about him later on, but his name is Sean Dean, and he is he's a lawyer. He's single and looking, and he's looking for work, and he's got a really great insight into a lot of things. And coming up here in the show, you'll hear our about an hour-long conversation between Sean and I, where we talk about everything from coping to dating to what going to school is like to just a lot of things that I think people out there can relate to, whether they're a guy or a girl. So this will be a good show for everybody. But before we bring Sean on the show, I want to talk about a couple things. It's been about a month since I did our last show here. And so for me, I've been, you know, doing well, writing, blogging all the time. I'm blogging, like, as you can see, if you come to my website, you'll see the Spin 2.0 blogs that I'm doing, which are for New Mobility Magazine, or for their website, rather. And they have a couple new blogs on their website, which you should totally check out, because they're really great in that they're written by some fabulous writers, me included. So definitely check out any of the Spin 2.0 blogs to see on my site. So yeah, I've just been busy writing, and you know, it just snowed here again the other day. I thought we hit spring on the 21st, so it's a little bit frustrating over here, up here in Minneapolis, if you're lucky enough to live somewhere where it's warm. I hate you. But yeah, we're just trying to move along to April here and focus on some warm weather. And for me, you know, I guess another thing I've been doing lately is I'm trying to pass the Mensa online test. I'm trying to become a member of Mensa. It's not easy. I've been working on this test for a while. Unfortunately, my forte was never in math and science as a student. So, and a lot of the test is on math, relatively basic math, but math nonetheless. So if any of you out there have passed the Mensa quiz, you should send me your tips. And I'm only wanting to pass it for just complete ego-boosting reasons, which is kind of sad, but whatever, at least I'm honest. So yeah, and what else is going on lately that I wanted to share with all of you? Not a lot. I've just been experiencing, this is a disability-related thing, if you have a spinal cord injury, maybe you can relate, some mysterious abdomen pain, which has been the bane of my existence about the last month, actually, dealing with that, which, you know, comes with the territory when you're paralyzed. It's never easy. It's never easy. There's always something. And luckily for me, the pain is tolerable. However, it's mysterious. They're not quite sure what's causing it. So I don't know. I had a CAT scan last week, and they have a couple ideas, but it's nothing super serious, but it's really painful, and it's causing some pretty bad dysreflexia. So it's kind of annoying, but I'm making do, you know? I can't always have good news, guys. But hopefully, when April comes along, I'll have good news and everything will be better. So All right, everybody. Hey, this is Tiffany. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I have a really cool guest on the show today. He is local to he's from where I'm at, Minneapolis, and he's like 5 minutes from here. And the sad part is I've never even met him before. And he's here, not as in my place, but on the phone, which is kind of sad. And he probably should have like met at a coffee shop. But whatever, he is also a quadriplegic, and he's recently graduated. He's a lawyer, a disability advocate lawyer, and a seemingly cool guy. We'll find out here in a few minutes or whatever, like right now, because we have him here. So without further ado, Sean Dean, hello, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. I look at your archives, and you kept some heavy hitters in the disability community, so I'm humbled and flattered you would bring me on as a guest.
Well, this show isn't all about people that people may know about by on Google. You know, this is also a show that features people that are doing really cool things that people need to know about. So you're one of them. So there you go.
That's cool to know.
Yeah, and you know, and I just it's funny because I know you're from Minnesota, but I just recently kind of found out about you just like a couple months ago, which is weird because I know you must have been living in Minneapolis for a while, right?
Well, I'm actually from Wisconsin. I was actually born down by Madison, Wisconsin, and I moved to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is like an hour and a half if you have good traffic from the cities, when I was like 18 months. And
okay.
I didn't move to Minneapolis until 2003 when I was like, 23, 24, and then I right. started law school. So
right.
I'm a Wisconsinite.
Okay, but
proud, but I moved up here in 2003 to get the law school thing going.
Well, I'm surprised I've never seen you out and about because Minneapolis is small. Usually I would have seen you before.
You know, that's one of the things I learned about moving up here is it's like, I think it's like the 16th largest metropolis, like conglomerate in the country, but
yeah.
it's like a big city that's small, and you know, I don't know.
It is.
Sounds like you live downtown and go out a lot downtown.
Well, I used to. Well, I do sometimes. I'm getting older, but yeah, you can see the same people. You do. And usually people in wheelchairs just stand out, you know? Like, there's only, like, a few cool people in wheelchairs, it seems, in Minneapolis.
Well, I saw you, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, like, you know, like you said, like, it's weird that, like, we're not friends yet. But
yeah.
I mean, you know, like, we guest blog on the same easy
yeah.
blog and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I saw you at mm-hmm. the, it was like, July 26th
really?
Last summer, like, at the, they had the 20th anniversary 88 thing. And
oh, you did? Cool.
I got there late, and I saw you, and I just got there, and I opened up my turkey sandwich.
Oh, yeah, I know. Those turkey sandwiches were awesome.
Like, I looked over, and, like, our eyes met, and I was like, that's Tiffany.
Oh,
like, and then basically,
really?
Like, as soon as I saw you, Josh Blue, the
Josh Blue, I know. Oh,
he's comedian
so funny.
With cerebral palsy took the stage, and they dimmed the lights, and I
oh,
was
yeah.
like, as soon as he's done, I'm going to go say hello.
Oh, no, and I took off.
You did. You bailed, like,
you
right
wanna know,
so
and I had a really good reason.
I was going to come over and say, hey, like, you know, how's it going? We should meet. Like, we're both.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Well, I had to bail because there was a chick there that I totally hated that I had
okay.
to. It was like a total cat fight about to happen.
Oh, nice. That would have been fun to see.
I'll tell you when we're not recording, but it's too bad because I would have loved to have met you then.
Yeah, you did. Like, you just kind of bounced right away. So, like, you know, technically, like, on some level, we kind of did meet.
Ooh,
right? I mean,
cool. Well, we saw each other. Wasn't Josh Blue funny?
Oh, man. Like, I loved the whole thing. Like, the funny thing about him is, like, it was one of those deals where...
Hold on. Everyone, no one out there who's listening, Josh Blue is this really funny comedian with cerebral palsy from Colorado who was on this NBC reality show for comedians, and he's hysterical.
Yeah, so he's, you know, in his one of his own jokes is that his arm mm-hmm. is, and I don't like to use the word, well, I don't want to use...
Well, just you're quoting him. Just quote him.
Right. So, like, his arm is, like, crippled up in the sense that mm-hmm. he kind of makes, like, a Nike swoosh symbol, like, with his arm.
Yeah, I've seen
so
that.
So he makes a joke. So he took the stage, and he just started, like, letting the swear words fly. And I remember
yeah, I know.
The table I was sitting at, like, this guy kind of
oh,
was, like, shaking his head, like, oh, he shouldn't be saying
yes,
a damn it
yes.
or whatever. And I was like, this is great, you know, because
yeah.
sometimes I get uncomfortable with that, but part of me, like, really relishes it. And, like,
yes.
I've seen his stand-up special, so when he was just letting it fly and he was letting the swear words fly, like...
Oh, my God. I know. I was loving it. And I also, too, felt the uptightness in the crowd, and I was loving every second of it because I was like, look at all these, like you know, they're all office people, and they don't... No. They can't be laughing at the jokes at work, especially because if their coworkers see him laughing at it, then they'll get in trouble, maybe.
Well, it was like the ADA, you know? It's like 20 years, you're going to celebrate the crap out of it. Dude takes the stage.
Josh Blue is not, you know, he is like,
the S's and
he's
the
not PC.
And, like, every time he did it, I was like, part of me fell out. Part of me was like, do it, man.
Dude, I was like, I wanted to go up there and like cheer him on and stuff. I was super excited.
So anyway, as soon as he was done and they were supposed to segue to like an Al Franken recorded message.
Yeah.
Never happened. Like, you bounced, and I was like...
I bounced.
I guess I'll meet her.
Sorry.
Well,
that's too bad. And now, I know, and now we're meeting on whatever, the airwaves. This is strange. Well, we'll have to hang out soon, you know.
That'd be cool.
We'll have to do... I'll say go to a show, and we'll go to a show together.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this is cool, and, you know, and so you're also paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those interesting things when like, I'm 32, but, mm-hmm. I had my accident in 96, and, you know, I was 17,
yep.
And you were 14 when you had yours, so, mm-hmm. like, you're, what, 17, 18 years into the game?
I'm 18. Like, I say 18 years now.
I'm going on 15, and, you know, one of the interesting things about that is, like, you meet people that have their accidents when they're 35 or 36 yep. or in their 40s, and the interesting thing about this lifestyle and this world is that person... is like 42 and has 10 years more life experience than me, but like you and I have been in the game, so to speak, like so much longer.
Right.
It's like, you know, you have like this PhD that like they don't have. So
I know you do. It is a PhD.
Like, age doesn't matter. You know, it's like, you know, you can be 40s and become a C6 quad, and like I was 17 and I became a C6-7, and it's
right.
just like, you know, I've been living a life for 15 years, and like I've... You know, like my disability experience kind of trumps their life experience. It's kind of an interesting thing.
It is. It's definitely a lot. I've learned a lot, and sometimes I think, well, would I trade it? I don't know. And it's been crazy, you know, road. You know, I don't think I choose it. I don't think it happens for a reason. I've tried to deal with it the best I can. I've tried to make it not... I've tried to, like, say... I just wrote a blog right now, and I said in it, I try to not let the 4th-inch tear in my spinal cord ruin my life, because I'm that stubborn, you know? Like, I just don't want that to be, like, the end of my life, you know?
Well, I mean, that's always an interesting dichotomy. Like, I kind of play that game with myself a lot, where you're like, look at all the different people I've met and the special people in my life and the experiences I've had post-injury versus would I trade that for not... having the accident and,
mm-hmm.
you know, my life going down the same path. And it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. one of those things where, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's one of those things where you have trouble sleeping. You're like laying awake staring at the ceiling. You're kind of wearing the pros and cons. Like, I became lifelong friends with this person, or I'm a fan of this sports team because I was in Colorado and like that was the team that was out there when I was doing rehab. And
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. Like,
well, you think all the things that happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of good. It's going to be some bad. You know, if your accident hadn't happened, it still would have been a lot of good and a lot of bad. You can't say which experience is going to be better. You honestly can't at the end of the day. You never be able to. Recently, and I know, and I feel like lately you just got to make do with all what you have, because that's all you can do, you know?
I mean, the other game...
It's so black and white. That's really how simple it is.
You know, the other game that I've played over the years is like, who else would I wish this lifestyle upon? You know, you think of like the jerk in high school or something, like if I could trade mm-hmm. places with someone else. And you know, I think of this dude in high school that used to try to give me the cold shoulder and pick on me, and I just think, like, if he had a spinal cord injury and became a quad like me, like he'd be one of those guys that would just, you know, be pissed off at the world and mm-hmm. would, like, you know, probably become like a burden to his family and friends. And I just feel like if I'm the kind of guy that can have the kind of injury and roll
right.
with the punches and, you know, make good things come out of it, then
that's the best,
you know,
you can
maybe in the world of karma or whatever, like, you know, as crappy as this lifestyle is, like, maybe mm-hmm. you know, in the big picture of the world, you know, having this happen to me is better than have it happen to, you know, X other person or whatever. So.
Exactly. And also for me, I think this is kind of also a little bit what you're saying. And it's like self-respect. It's the same way, you know, maybe I'm prideful enough, or I have so much respect for myself that I don't want to be lazy. I want to make the best of what I still have and do as much as I still can, because that's what I should do, and that's what the right person should do, you know? And I like want to hold myself up to that level, because why, you know, I mean, that's what we should always do, is fight to the end, you know? And it's hard, but I want to be known as a fighter. I guess, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it depends on like how deep you want to go, but like, you know, you want to start invoking religious stuff and stuff, and it's just like, if it was God's way for me to be, you know, this guy and you know, be the guy that can become a quad and have mm-hmm. a good attitude and, you know, pick up the people around me
yeah.
and be that token person with a disability that, you know, can go out in public and not be mad because
right.
someone holds the door for him, or, you know, kind of change attitudes, like, you know, as crappy as it is living this lifestyle, like, if that's, you know, like, my place or whatever, like, you know, on some level, I guess I'm cool with it, you know, like, I'm ready to change attitudes.
Yeah.
You know, in that regard, I guess.
Yeah. And it's hard, and I think that's one of the things when you have a disability that you acquire, is you do spend a lot of time thinking about how you kind of deal with this new person you are.
Yeah.
And it's something I think that you'll never get used to, just like a death of someone, you just learn to live with it.
Well, it's a coping thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd be lying if I said there were moments every day or every week where you know, laying on my side and the PCA's there in the morning, we're getting things rocking and rolling, and I'm just kind of
mm-hmm.
staring at the wall in my bedroom, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this shouldn't have been my life, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it is, and, you know, you move on.
You try to move on and think to the next moment, you know? When I'm in that moment, I just try to, like, think, okay, what am I doing next? I try to...
I guess I've always had that kind of coping mechanism, too, like, you know...
That's
like
all you can do.
When I have that... In my deepest and darkest moments that, you know, scare me the most, like, what would it have been like for my parents to have the doctor say your son will never walk again? Or I know when I was out in Craig Hospital in Denver,
I
was supposed to be the, you know, the hunky badass senior that's going to take my freshman sister under their wing. But what ended up happening is, you
mm-hmm.
know, there were some kids that were picking on her and calling her bitch and slut, and
mm-hmm.
I was hearing about that as a quad out in Denver, and, you know, like, I feel guilty.
Oh.
Like, all these other things that scare you, like, you know, ending up in your life alone, or, you know, like, not being able to satisfy
right.
your partner, or, like, you know, like, all these
yep.
dark, dark thoughts. I guess my coping the best way to describe it is, like, all these, like, you know, like, especially in the last couple of years, like, my nephew is 4, my niece is
yeah.
3, and it's, like, minute by minute, I'm getting kind of screwed out of the uncle-kid relationship I want. And, you know, like, when I have those dark, dark moments,
right.
it's like, I think...
I know, you think that, and that's true. I think that's what that's
but,
totally how it happens.
But what always happens in my brain, you know, call it a coping mechanism or whatever, it's
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, I think you're a sci-fi chick, so it's like basically
yeah,
what happens in my brain is like this really 3-foot door, like, steel girded, like, you know, Stargate, you know, like those gate
yeah.
like on those ships where they have that big door that, like, crashes down and
yeah.
like cuts off the chamber. Like, that's kind of what happens in my brain, like, when I think of those really dark moments. Like, it's almost like my brain kind of, like, cuts me off from dwelling on it, and, like, this,
that's good,
this gate slams down, and it's like, you
wow.
know, a Badger football, man, you know, like, move on.
That's awesome. That's really good. You're good at, like, self-therapy or talk therapy or whatever.
The thing about it is, like, it happens, you know, like, that comes up, and it stinks to think about,
mm-hmm.
You know, relationships, and...
It does.
Whatever, like, you just, like, really fear, but it seems like whenever I find myself thinking about those negative thoughts that I just can't help, like this, you know, thing comes down and it's just like, all right, think about something else. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know, it kind of sounds like hippie trippy, but that's kind of what goes on with me.
I like it.
I just kind of think about other stuff, you know.
And I think whatever, if it works for you, I think that sounds actually something that I might kind of do, something sort of like that, but I don't really want to get into it right now.
You know, you can't help it, you know, like, you know, being a quad, it's like, you know, say you're talking about sex or whatever, and it's mm-hmm. just like, you're probably, at this stage in my life, I'm never going to be, like, you know, the romp of someone's life or whatever, and it's like, that really bothers you, but I can't help it, and, you know, the gate comes down, and, you know, you just kind of move on.
Well, yeah, you just got to move on, and, you know, it sucks, and then what do you do then? Okay, you try to, like, what I do then is try to go, okay, where is the positive in this? All right, I'm filtering out people. I'm finding somebody maybe that isn't just out to get, you know, screwed by, like, a stallion. You know, most girls honestly aren't like that anyway, so I don't know why.
That's good
you
to know.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised. So yeah, you know, you got to think of it like that sometimes.
Well, I think the other thing that relates into that whole discussion is, like, yeah, I've grown up my whole life. Like, my whole life, my dad's key phrase is, that's just kind of burned in the back of my skull, has been, you got to turn a negative into a positive. And like, my whole life I've grown up with my dad kind of, you know, it's one of those deals where they just kind of throw it out and it goes in one in ear and out the other, like, yeah dad, I get it, negative into a positive. But you know, you live this lifestyle and it's like, it becomes much more apropos, you know. It's just like, you got to turn negatives into positives. Like, you know, like I've got good friends, I've got good family, like I'm healthy. You know, like,
yeah.
There's good things going on. Like, I
we could all be dead next year. It's 2012 coming up, man. We got to enjoy every minute.
Like, you know, I hate my lifestyle, but that's not to say, to be very clear, that I hate my life, because I don't. Like, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know how it is. It's like, you go through those moments every day where you're like, man, this aspect of my life sucks. That's very spinal cord injury specific, but I'm not going to roll myself off a bridge, you know?
No.
Like, there's aspects of the lifestyle that stink, but like, your life doesn't stink. And
well, there's always still things about life that you still love.
Yeah,
I still love a lot of things about life that make life still worth living every day, whether it's food or music,
yeah,
or
I mean,
movies, or my family, or making out with my boyfriend, or going shopping and touching fabrics, and or feeling just hot shot. There's so many things. Yeah, it sucks that I can't feel so much of my body and I haven't been able to walk, but and it sucks so much. And yeah, I think we get gypped a lot. We do.
Yeah.
And totally. But there's still a fraction of life there, for me at least. And you know what? And here's the morbid part, but I'm going to be totally honest. There's like people out there that's not enough for them, and they don't want to live, and they commit suicide. And you know what? I'm not going to judge him, man. I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't know if you read that thing, but like, it was a couple months ago, there was that post that was on the Christopher Reeve Foundation website about how there was that, like, C4 quad, meaning they're paralyzed from, like, the neck up. They can't move their arms and legs. I mean, as crappy as I think my lifestyle is like a C6-7.
Right.
Like, I can still move my arms. I'm the strongest quads out there. I can drive a van. I can put myself to bed. Like, those people that are paralyzed, like,
that's very good.
From the neck up, like, you know, I don't want to besmirch them, but it's...
No, that's very hard.
As strong as I am, like, I could deal with it, but oh my God, like, I just can't understand. So there was that thing that came out, that there was a mm-hmm. C4 quad that was, like, basically begging his, like, PCAs and doctors to, like, you know, like, the whole suicide thing. And
yeah, where was this?
Part of me was like...
What state was this in?
I don't remember, but I...
Okay.
I remember I kind of, like, you know, on Twitter, like, I kind of retweeted it, and I was like... I get it, but I'm not this dark or whatever. I don't know what state it was, but I mean, you kind of get it, but you're like, you know, come on, man, like, it's not that bad, you mm-hmm. know?
No, it's not that bad. But
that's from our perspective, where we can drive if he
wants to, if he wants,
you
know, to kill himself, let him kill himself.
People without someone taking your arms and putting them around him, like, I, you know,
I just think the problem is people getting offended if another person who's paralyzed says, hey, this lifestyle isn't for me, I want out. And don't take it personally, because it doesn't mean he thinks your life sucks too. Like, if that guy wants to die, let him die. I'm pro-death. If he wants to kill himself, fine. If he wants to die, he's got every right to want to die. I can see why it's hard. And you know what? Then he's not strong enough to want to live, whatever. But I'm not going to take it personally. I still love my life, and, you know, I don't try to get offended by it, but I think some people do. I don't know, but it's a touchy subject. But coping with spinal cord injuries, we could talk about this forever. We kind of got a little off subject here, but I think this is a really good topic, isn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't.
It's a great topic.
When we set this up, that wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
We were going to talk 20 minutes.
No, but you know what though? That's okay, because I haven't done a segment on this topic, so it's good.
A lot of people ask me like, how do you cope and stuff, and it's just like hard. It's hard to explain.
It is.
You know, like basically what I said with that whole, you know, like sci-fi, you know, like Stargate ship gate mentality or whatever. That's just kind of what happens. It just kind of happens. I mean, it's not like I think, all right, gate, come on down. But like when I think about the negative crap, it's just like my brain just kind of cuts it off. And you know, I guess it's a good thing. I don't know.
It is. It's a very good thing. So it is. And you're smart, you know, because you're a lawyer, right? Super smart lawyer.
I don't know
about smart, but so let's talk about. I was curious about, like, you just recently graduated, right?
Not recently.
How recently?
I'm a victim of a crappy economy and job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I started law school in 2003. I went part time, so I went 4 years. I graduated in 2007.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, that was like a really bad time to graduate.
Yeah, I mean.
2007. I was like. Right when it started to get better.
Well, I mean, what I didn't know, and, you know, history will show in retrospect that, you know, like, the economy, like, really crapped out right around the fall of 2008, but what history is going to show is that there were hints and precursors and stuff all of 2007 and in the early months of 2008 that kind of, like, marched people down the path. It wasn't until right around when there was the whole presidential debate thing in 2008 where, like, all of a sudden, boom, you know, it was bad.
It seemed like in September of 2008, like, that's when everyone, like, I knew started losing jobs, like, flies. It was like they're dying like flies. It was, like, scary.
Well, I mean, the only job I've had post-law school is at Best Buy Corporate, which is pretty kick-ass, but I was a disability management consultant, and basically what they brought me in to do was they had a couple scares corporate-wise where they had employees with disabilities that were going to their managers and like, I need an accommodation at work, and the managers was like, sorry man, I can't help you, which is like the last thing you say because it opens up to like huge litigation. Uh-huh. They needed someone to come in and kind of like set up policies to just kind of curb that. So from like June until December of 2008, I was at Best Buy, and I basically shaped their disability accommodation policy like corporate-wide. So basically, if you go into any Best Buy store right now, if there's an employee with a disability, whatever it is, wheelchair, insulin, intellectual disability, whatever, like there's a toolkit that they have online that I have like 85-90% of my finger in that basically walks them through the process.
Really?
of you know, getting this employee like whatever they need. But what happened was I was an independent contractor, and it was billed as an internship. It turned into a consulting thing. But the whole time I was an independent contractor, so you know, I don't know if you were savvy on the news right around then, but Best Buy Corporate let 500 people were offered a severance package, and they took advantage. And then a month later, 250 corporate employees were just let go. So like I was an independent contractor at Best Buy at the time, and like I wasn't even an employee, so the writing was on the wall. But basically, right around me, that whole time, 750 people were let go. So when my contract was up on New Year's Eve, like my project wasn't finished, but you know, I mean, the writing was on the wall. You know, it's like it's just a crappy set of circumstances. Like I happened to be job searching and get my first real.
So you were like just a. How long did you work there for?
Well, like I said, it was supposed to be an internship starting in June of 2008, and it was supposed to go to August. And you know, like I've been a lawyer for 4 months at that point. I was like, come on, man! Like I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to do an internship. But then part of me was, you know, then the big part of me was like, screw it! I'm going to work at Best Buy. Like how awesome is that? So I was like, yeah, I'll take the gig. And then they changed my title from intern to disability management consultant, which is a lot more sexy on the resume.
Yeah.
By the time June rolled around, you know, it was kind of a sketchy time because I had just started to turn the corner on paying off some credit cards.
Yeah.
And stuff, and I wasn't getting paid a ton. I was getting paid way less than my quote-unquote lawyer market.
Right.
But then I was hoping at least get extended for a month, and my supervisor came, and she was like, yeah, I got you extended till like New Year's Eve. And she was like, I was going to joke that I got extended for 2 weeks, but I didn't want to do that to you. And I'd have been happy to get extended for 2 weeks, but yeah, to get extended for like an extra 4 months was awesome. But unfortunately, like all the work we did actually kind of extended into March. So, you know, it's like, you're the guy, you're the point guy that's developing these disability policies for Best Frickin' Buy. And
that's awesome, though.
You know, give your baby
a good hug
and a kiss goodbye, and you know, someone else take the reins for 3 more months. That was frustrating.
You know,
it's the time.
It was good while it lasted, but it's too bad it ended the way it did.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like how long ago? Like 4 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, what are we? It's almost April, and I took that job in June of 2008. So we're coming up on 3 years ago. I mean, I'm still in touch with a couple people, but
yeah.
You know, it's. Best Buy has this really strict thing where for every for every dollar they spend, they have to make $25 back. So I mean, you could argue that Best Buy is Best Frickin' Buy, all in caps, but so like they probably as a company didn't need to let all those people go back when, but because they're so strict with their a dollar spent equals a dollar earned, you know, that's always been their corporate stance. That, you know, that's how they survive, so.
Well, that's sad, but that's sign of the times, and now look at Best Buy, they're, like, losing, like, money, I just recently saw.
Well, I feel bad, because my supervisor that was, like, super proactive about disabilities and, you know, getting all these employees with disabilities, like, their cut and making sure they could, you know, like people with disabilities are just like this untapped resource, and that's what I feel I am. Like, I'm this untapped resource that's ready to kick some disability law and ADA ass and stuff like that. And, you know, so, like, setting up those policies for these people to get a chance you know, like, next thing you know, she's coming by my desk and we're having meetings and she's seeing her, like, 401k, i.e. her retirement, like, dipping dollar by dollar, and you know, her career gets extended by, you know, probably an extra 5 or 10 years, depending on how things pick up. So, you know, company-wise, it was a crappy deal.
So now, are you doing some disability consulting then?
No, I mean, I'm kind of like one of the most overqualified job searchers out there. Like,
okay.
You know, it's like you've got a law degree, you're a lawyer.
Well, we'll use this podcast as a way to promote you. So what are you looking for?
Well, I mean, my job search is I don't know how crazy I am about working for a law firm, because when you start working at a law firm, you know, the whole adage is like you're working 70 or 60 hours to build 40. I mean, you know how our lifestyle is.
Oh, yes.
You can't work 70 hours. I would get like 3 hours of sleep. You know, you have like a 3-plus hour, like, personal care routine ring that cuts into stuff, like, it just can't happen. So
I'm very difficult
the law firm thing, but the longer my job search is gone, like, I'm kind of warming up to it. I think my niche has been what I did at Best Buy. Like, I want to kind of like shape disability policy. Like, the most thing I could do as a lawyer, as a consultant, that, you know, like, it improves things for people with disabilities. For example, like hotels, I don't know how often you've stayed in hotels, but like, you get the quote-unquote accessible hotel room, and you get in there, and the bed is, like, 2 feet higher than your chair, and you're like, what the hell? Like, how is this inaccessible? You go into the bathroom, you can't even get through the doorway. Like, there's not even a rolling shower.
Yep. So I know, I've
like,
seen it.
You know, I've even had thoughts of, like, starting my own kind of, like, you know, like, consulting company that just kind of goes to all these corporations or...
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel. Like, say you go to Target, and it's like... You go to pay for stuff, and you pull out your credit card. Well, like, the swiper is, like, you know, above your reach. And
That happens a lot.
I always have to give him my card and say, would you mind swiping this?
Oh, yeah. I do that. That's what I just do, yep.
It's like, if that thing was more waist level instead of chest level, you know, so, like, consulting, like, doing something where you can get hotels to have one room in the Holiday Inn that's absolutely accessible, or, like, one aisle at Target where... the credit card swipers down low or something. And I don't know. Those are just kind of the things. I always use the phrase cure the ills of the world, and, you know, accessibility. I figure as a quad, if, like, I'm doing stuff like that to make things more accessible. Like, it's going to make things more accessible for everyone. I mean, just think of, like, the arthritic 80-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, has a hard time stepping into a tub. If there's, like, a rolling shower with a bench, they're going to get that room. You know, that kind of thing.
It's so true. I know. It benefits everybody. It's universal, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. However that shakes out. I mean, I applied for a position with the Minnesota State Council on Disability that was going to be kind of like a accessible transportation liaison this past fall, and like I thought I was the guy. I kind of got impressions I was going to be my job to lose, and the next thing you know, someone else had more, you know, quote unquote legislative experience, whatever that means. And
right,
you know, you just kind of feel crushed. So I don't know. It's an interesting job search. Like,
well, you'll find something. It's bound to happen. You just can't be jobless for the rest of your life. You'll
right,
find
no,
something.
And like I said, it's just an interesting job searching dichotomy in that you're super qualified yet. And, you know, it's like I'm tied into all this system crap, like, you know, economic assistance and, like, Social Security. So it's like you really can't take jobs that aren't going to be permanent and long-lasting and income receiving, because if I take a job that's, like, a month long,
I know
it's not worth it, because I got to basically say to all these people, all right, I'm going to have this higher-paying job, and it always takes about a month to switch all the stuff, and then by the time you do the job project for a month, it takes another month to switch it all off, and it's you know, like my whole postgraduate job searching existence is just this, it's just this very, very specific set of circumstances that, like, nobody else has to deal with, and, you know, like, it's crazy.
It is, it's not easy. No. Well, you'll eventually find something, because that's just the way the universe works.
Yeah, it's all about networking. I mean, I guess, like, Mondays are always my job searching days. I hit the job post boards, and I try to network as much as I can, and it just got to a point where it's just kind of run dry. Like, there's, you know, everyone's like, oh, keep throwing your resume out there, and it's, there's only, you know, it's like, where do you throw your resume to? You know, it kind of gets to that point.
Right.
It's just, you know, like I said, I my whole life I've just kind of been victim of these just kind of, like, inexplicable, like, convergence of circumstances that just affect me. Like, you know, I'd start job searching as a lawyer in the worst economic recession we've had. Like, I dove into a beach where, like where it was supposed to be enough water for me to dive. It just happened to be the one beach in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or, like, the one part of the beach where there was, like, enough sand built up that I'd crashed in. And, you know, just like, you know, I had a couple lung collapses before my accident where I had, like, this very unscientific thing on the top of my lung called a bleb, which is BLEB, which is like a sack of air. When that popped, the lung collapsed. So it's like that collapsed. I got it fixed. It collapsed again. Like, you know, I didn't know it, but it collapsed the first time for... I was walking around with one lung for, like, 6 days.
Wow.
It wasn't until my mom was like, you're breathing too heavy. This is weird. And, you know, they fixed it. And they were like, come back in 2 more weeks. Get your clean bill of health.
Right.
You know, it collapsed again. And I pretty much called her at school. She was a teacher. And I was like, yeah, my lung collapsed. I'm going to the ER. And I walked into the ER. And I was like, yeah, my lung collapsed. I'm going to need surgery. And the nurse was like, staring at me. And was like, you want to do some vitals or something? Like, you know, let's get this going. And so, you know, it's just like health-wise, accident-wise, lung-wise, job search-wise, you know, relationship-wise, it just seems like there's always been just these weird, weird, like, you know, sets of circumstances that, like, no one else has to deal with. It just kind of get in the way.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Hopefully things will get better for you, though.
I keep plugging away. Like, that's my theme, you know, either with relationships or jobs. It's like you just got to keep plugging away. I call it hurry-up-and-wait syndrome because...
Yeah.
You could throw in, like, a cure for spinal cord injuries, too, or paralysis. Like, you know, it's this, it's hurry-up-and-wait syndrome, and that's all you can do.
That's like, all you can do.
You know, like, you want it to happen, but, you know, it's like, hurry up and wait. And
so, in the meantime, you've, haven't you, like, founded the Minnesota Spinal Cord Injury? What's the actual name of this group that you founded recently?
Yeah, Minnesota Spinal Cord Injury Association.
Yes.
That was actually, before I got the job at Best Buy in 2008, that was going to be my quote-unquote summer project. My very good friend, Karen Quammen, that's always been her dream, and she, you know, I don't know why spinal cord injury thing was her dream, but what happened is in the 70s or 80s or something, they actually had a Minnesota chapter of the National Spinal Cord Injury Association, and there was like a lack of succession so pretty much all these people are like, you want to keep it going? I don't know, I guess I don't. And then it just kind of fell by the wayside. So what happened is I was at this dinner, which was on a Tuesday, and by Friday I got that Best Buy gig. But Karen kept saying to me, like, she kept using these words, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, and, you know, we could or should. And I was like, let's do it, because I need a summer project. I'm cool putting my stamp on starting a spinal cord injury nonprofit. And that was June of 2008. And then you flash forward to August of 2010, and we got our nonprofit certificate of authenticity or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're like an official Minnesota nonprofit entity.
Cool.
And we've kind of been, we're not ready to open our doors yet, but we've, ever since August, you know, we've kind of been building it bit by bit.
So how many members do you have?
We don't yet, because I don't, you know, we've kind of got
this. Well, who's the we?
The we is me and my four fellow board members, two of which are fellow founders. And we're kind of at a point where we're, you know, it's kind of like the dog chasing his tail around. Like, you need a certain amount of funding to get things going, but, like, how do you get the funding? And
well, what's your purpose?
I guess my vision, which is, I'm the president, my vision / our vision is, you know, from a selfish standpoint, which isn't even selfish, my vision is I want it to be like an all-encompassing, like, clearinghouse resource center for people with spinal, and I wrote the mission statement that says a resource center for people with spinal cord injuries at all stages of their SCI journey, meaning after your accident, when you're in rehab, when you get discharged from rehab, stuff that comes up later in life. I mean, you know how it is. It's like stuff comes up. So when I had my accident, I was at a local hospital, and they couldn't do, it got to a point where they couldn't do anymore for me. I transferred out to Denver at Craig Hospital, and I was there for 2 months. And then I went home, and once I went home, we had to just answer our own questions, like medical supplies, medical equipment, doctors that were spinal cord injury friendly, you know, that kind of peer support, like that kind of kind of had to.
It was before the internet, too. You couldn't really go online and find answers.
Oh, exactly. I mean, this definitely was. I mean, I remember my first email I ever sent, my dad wrote on AOL to my good friend Andy from my hospital room in Denver, and I was like, what is this internet thing, you know, so.
I know.
That's kind of our deal, is like we just kind of wanted to be this resource center for Minnesotans with spinal cord injuries.
So you want to actually have a storefront, like an actual like building, or just like an existing like online place where people can go?
I think right now it's going to be considered what you call like a cloud entity, where we're not going to have like an office yet, but we're going to hopefully have a website up soon, and as soon as we get enough kind of startup funding, we can. I mean, we're close to taking on members. It's just our thing right now is we don't know if we have enough. We're still developing our services.
Right.
We don't want to take on members, and they're not going to get a benefit. You know, we're close. I think within a few months we'll be able to open up our doors, and we're not going to have like a building or an office or anything yet. It's kind of.
You're just waiting for the status to be approved or whatever.
Yeah, like where we have enough funding to be able to actually pay for peer support or consulting or
It's a great idea, and
like
peer consulting
is
really great.
Point is to be able to help people answer the questions about their spinal cord injury journey at whatever level. You know how it is. It's like even for you, 18 years in, me 15 years in, there's stuff that comes up that you have questions about.
Oh, I know, and peer support's always the best. And you could find people online, but some, you know what? There's a lot of people out there, like, that don't go on the internet, that aren't listening to this podcast, that don't have someone to talk to that they know.
Even before we were an entity, we had a situation where there was some lady that had a spinal cord injury, and she was a parent, she had three kids, and she was kind of wondering, like, she was up in northern Minnesota, and she was wondering where she could get very affordable, accessible housing that allowed her kids to move in, and one of my founding partners and good friends, Kurt Wieger, who you know, that's his forte. Like he knows how to make those connections.
Really,
and it felt really good that you could point her in the right direction.
He helped her find a house.
Yeah, like an apartment where it worked out and stuff. So that was kind of our first act as an entity, even though we technically weren't an entity. So that's the whole point, is to just
That's a wonderful.
Help help people in the way that I didn't get helped. You know, like I said, it's one of those selfish things that really isn't selfish.
Well, that would be a good story to have on your website. You should interview her and take a picture and have her, like, on the About Us page. That would be really good. It's cool, and I hope that it'll take off. It's a really good, and Minnesota definitely needs that. I think every state needs that kind of, you know, association. It's so
cool. Well, the interesting thing in my research is that there's like less than half the states in the United States that actually have a chapter in the National Spinal Cord Injury Association.
It's awful.
And I was surprised. Like, I thought Minnesota was one of the few that did, and I was like, well, let's make it happen. And then when I was looking at other chapters, it's
It's surprising.
Like less than half actually have it. So.
It's shocking. And you, I think a lot of people assume things are better than they really are sometimes.
So, and you know, the other thing about it is like, it's like they say make lemons out of lemonade, and I guess, you know, being unemployed, job searching, employment sabbatical, whatever label you want to put it, like that's kind of my way of making lemonade. Like, you know, start a nonprofit from scratch.
That's the best thing you can do right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's being creative. There's tons of people that can't find salary jobs. What are you going to do in the interim? Freelance gigs, other crap, trying to meet people. Hopefully something will come together, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? It sucks, man. I was just like, even the gas prices are killing me now. Man, I driving around a block, I'm like putting $20 in my car. It takes me like about 10 miles, it seems.
Well, for the first time in almost 15 years, I got a new van, and it was fun and sexy. I got a new Dodge Grand Caravan.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 4.0 engine, so it's got a lot of balls. It's fun to drive. But what happened is that the advances in fuel economy partnered with a bigger engine. The bigger engine's winning.
No.
So when you need heat, you need air conditioning. Like, you know, it's fun to drive, but it's a gas hound, and it's the same thing. Like every time I need to fill the entire tank, it's like $50 or $60.
It
goes on the credit card.
It's awful.
Like, really, $50? That's how much?
I know, it's awful. I think, you know, your story is so common right now, and I try to be positive because it's all I can do. You know, and this is a good thing that you're on the show. Get you out there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough, but, you know, it's all good. And I actually tried to start a nonprofit a couple of years ago, and it didn't pan out, but it's always good to, you know, really plan it out. It just didn't come together. It's kind of complicated, you know. There's a lot of steps.
There's behind the scenes filings, and that's where it's good that I've got the legal brain where I can kind of like work through it and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we still have some filings to go that are like super complicated, and they're kind of on hold until we have a little more money. You know, even doing a nonprofit tax filing is going to cost between $300 and $700, and it's like we don't have the money to pay it. So
in the you know, it's just expensive, and you just want to keep putting it on your credit card either, right?
Right. I mean, I can't. I can't afford it. I mean, one of our founding partners has kind of been the one that's been throwing money in the kitty to pay for stuff, and she'll get reimbursed someday, but, you know, it's like you got to kind of...
Yep, and you know what? And you're a perfect example of the person with a disability out there who's trying to make it, you know, and you don't have, like, some magic trust fund or something or some lawsuit money that's just there you can, like, take money out of, and, you know, and there's a lot of people out there, and they're lucky, you know, and I'm not, like, knocking them, and they have a lot of money. They had an injury, and they get a...
settlement.
And they're like living it up, flying around, having a blast, and you know, and thank God, because that's so lucky, because it is hard to get a job even now with a disability. People just still, and it's not easy, and like you're talking about making ends meet with and trying to go back and forth, trying to get on and off assistance, it's just so many extra little steps, so it'd just be easiest to get a settlement and be done with it, huh?
Yeah, you know, I guess I could either be well-versed in, like, general hospital, or I could, you know, be starting a nonprofit that's going to help
people
with disabilities, and I choose the latter.
Right. I really was hoping that I would just, like, win the lottery. That's really what I want to happen. You can't bet on that, though, right? No.
Yeah.
No. So, anyways, but, yeah, so I was going to, this is kind of off subject. We're going to change subjects completely now, but, you know, it's a little bit like, it maybe pertaining to what you do in your off time, now that you're not working a lot, whatever, movies. You mentioned on your blog, actually. I actually wanted to talk about your blog, too. But you're a huge movie fan, right? And this is kind of near and dear to my heart, because I am too, and Netflix Watch Now has been my savior all winter.
I always have, yeah. I've always been a movie buff. I've always Like, I've got, I don't know, if I could afford to, I'd have way more. I think as of right now, I've got a collection that's between, like, 200 and 300 DVDs / Blu-rays. But, yeah, ever since I started doing Netflix, going into my summer after my first year of law school, which is 2004, and ever since then, I swear, I've watched over probably between 300 and 400 Netflix movies, and it's just, I wouldn't have watched them otherwise, because I hate Blockbuster, and I never would have gone there.
No, Blockbuster.
So I'm a buff. Like, I don't know the lyrics to, like say, my favorite Metallica song. Like, I don't know all the lyrics, but there's tons of movies where I could recite the lines from start to finish. You know, it's just the way my brain works, I guess.
Wow, it's like you're Rain Man or something.
I don't know about that.
So, okay, so here's a fun question. You know, it's always hard to, like, kind of, like, say what your, you know, like, top favorite movies are, like, your top three movies would be, but... you know, if you had to give, like, a rough top three, what would they be?
I don't even know if I can answer that. I guess my first thing would be if, like, if we could break it up by genre or something. God, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of dead air.
Just give me one movie that you love, and then I'm going to ask you another question about a disability movie.
You know, I guess the way my brain works, I'm trying to, like, break it all up. Like, if you want to go, like, classic comedies of all time, it's going to be, like, Animal House or...
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think of movies, like, I've watched over and over. I mean, I've watched the movie Top Gun since I was a kid, but now that movie's a joke. I haven't watched it probably.
Well, how about, what's a movie that, you know, there's a lot of have you ever, like, been moved by a movie since you've been in a wheelchair, you know, that you felt, like, was a good movie that represented disability in a way that you, you know, really admired?
The first movie that I watched post-accident that really struck a chord with me disability-wise was The Water Dance, which is that movie with Eric Stoltz where he has that... I think he was doing something. I never saw the beginning of it, but he was, like, cliff diving or something. Had an accident.
Yeah, I don't know that movie.
He became a paraplegic. It's starring Eric Stoltz, and Helen Hunt was his girlfriend at the time. And basically the premise of the movie is that he ends up in kind of like a Craig Hospital-esque or Sister Kinney-esque kind of rehab facility. And it's, you know, there's paras and there's quads, and it's just kind of their adventures of... just the little things of how they kind of overcome their disabilities and kind of learn how to take the...
What year was it made?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched it in well over a decade. I mean, it was one of
those... So it's older then.
I got caught up in it because it was on DirecTV, like, way back in the late 90s when I was still living in Eau Claire with my parents, and I just saw a bunch of people in wheelchairs, and I got sucked into it, and then it just... I haven't watched it since because it hit home, you know, like it hit home hard, and because like, you know, I was, you know, at one point, like, one of the guys was Wesley Snipes played one of the paraplegic characters, and his character was having a hard time dealing with the fact that he was a para, and like his wife or girlfriend left him because she couldn't
have
his ability, and like he kept sneaking out and getting drunk and showing back up on the rehab floor drunk, and they had like a strict don't show up drunk policy. And at one point he got kicked out, and they were kind of having a discussion. They were like, yeah, they sent him home with like a week's ration of pills and a leg bag. And I was like, damn, like that's hard. Like, how
that sounds like a good movie. I need to see it.
it's I don't know what you're
with. Water Dance.
It's called The Water Dance.
The Water Dance. That's
the one disability movie that's
interesting.
I guess really struck a chord. I mean, I remember watching it for the first time after my accident, Born on the 4th of July, which is a Tom Cruise movie.
It's a hard one to watch. It's a hard one to watch, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know there was that one scene where he was supposed to go and be honored, and he, like, ended up pulling the catheter tube out of his whatever, and then his mom was like, again with the catheter, and, you know, that's,
I know. That's always funny, actually. It makes me laugh. It's a lot of... I thought it'd be fun to ask, because, you know, hey, movies are close to my heart. And so, also, too, you mentioned sci-fi stuff earlier. Do you like sci-fi movies at all?
I just kind of threw that to you, because I know you're a sci-fi fan. You know, it's fine. Like, I'm not...
No.
I'm not, like...
So...
Dying by SG-1 or whatever it is, but so. I like all movies.
So how about, okay, you mentioned earlier relationships. And I just want to, before we end this conversation, this is a good question to ask, since I don't have guys on the show very often. And, you know, it's not easy, you know, dating from, you know, being a guy in a chair. And I always talk about from the female perspective, you know, guys have it completely different. We don't have a lot of time left, but you know what? We could devote 10 minutes to this topic, okay? And then we'll do that. And then we'll be done. And so, and I've known a lot of guys in chairs, you know, friends of mine, and they all have totally different experiences. Some have really great luck and get laid all the time. I mean, they do.
I listen to your podcast with Rafe or whatever, that quad that's like all about the somatic sexual stuff, and I'm just like, how does that guy do it? Like, he somehow convinced one of his therapists.
He's like a guru, man. He just smiles and girls flock on him.
My PCA undressed me and then she left us. I'm like, dude's got game.
Like, you need to like meet him, Rafe Biggs. You know, you should add him. He's on my Facebook. He could teach you some things, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I read his blog posts and stuff. I'm just like, wow, that dude's got game.
I'm gonna be on his radio show actually on April 7th or something.
Oh, really?
You'll have to listen to that.
Yeah.
But no, you know, and so some guys like Rafe are like really lucky, and I don't know how they do it, but they got game. And I think, though, it proves maybe it's an all about the mojo. What do you think?
I think it is. I mean, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
It's you know, part of me feels like I don't have that mojo.
I don't know. I don't want to say that, but I think it might be also that Rafe lives in California, and he's around a bunch of really cool hippie chicks, too.
Yeah, totally. I
mean, are you hanging out with hippie chicks?
Well, I mean, he said, like, you know, he had these crazy experiences with his friend so-and-so and his therapist this and that. You don't know what she looks like, so you don't know, like, how much credit I should give him.
I know!
it is. You know, I think, I don't know, I think part of why I maybe don't have the mojo or whatever, like, it's, I don't know, it's probably like a psychological...
It's hard, right? Confidence?
Yeah, I think part of it goes way back to when I was in high school. There was this girl I was in all of my enriched English classes with, and I remember I rolled up to her after school, and I was just like, what's up? Because I figured if I'm cool with my disability, people are, and like, she didn't acknowledge that I was there, and she kind of did that, like, I'm on my tippy toes, kind of looking past you, I don't see you kind of move, and I don't know, for some reason, that just always...
Ugh.
Kind of damaged me. I was like, this isn't even a girl I'm into.
How that was that right after you got hurt?
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's like, yeah, it was years ago, but you know, it left an impact.
Listen, I've been there. I have been hurt by boys in my high school experiences after I got hurt, and I have gotten to a point where you just gotta like just like let it go because you're way cooler than those people are.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, like I said, but you know, like when you're that age and it's a girl you're not even into is giving you the cold shoulder. It's just damaging.
You don't want to. So what? You're worried. There's always like the fear thing, right? You're worried about being laughed at again or whatever. Maybe you're worried about, like, are you worried about rejection? Is that at the end of the day, the thing bugs you?
Down. I mean, that's the little line I threw into my Easy Stand post about dating was, you know, it's like deep down, I think all guys, whether they want to admit it or not, you do fear rejection. And it's like when it's someone you really like and you put yourself out there and you get rejected, like, it hurts. And, you know, it could be all circumstances. Like, they may not like my brown hair or my glasses or whatever. But when you have a disability, it's hard. It's very hard to block out the fact that ultimately, like, that wasn't a factor. Like, well, he would be cute, but, you know what I mean?
Right. No, and that happens a lot, I'm sure of it. But there's also a lot of people out there that I really believe that don't think that. And I think that you're lucky. I think there's a lot of people. If you lived in a small city where there wasn't a lot of people, it'd be a lot harder, I think, to find someone that would be, you know, because it's always like, if you're a mathematician, if there was like a ratio factor involved, how many one woman would she be cool to overlook a disability? And I think, you know, honestly, maybe like 1 in 20, I don't know, you know, so the odds aren't the greatest, but there's still odds there, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
you know,
that's the thing is, I always feel like,
so you live in a big city, so the odds are more in your favor.
I've always felt like my best chance of meeting someone is someone that's like disability has been in their life, like they've had a friend or relative that was in a chair, or like they're a nurse or in the healthcare business, or like they're a PCA, or
yeah,
you know, something like that, where they're you know, quote unquote okay with it by default.
Oh yeah, that's always a good place to start looking, and that's always a great place to start looking. And sometimes a lot of guys end up dating their PCAs, and that happens all the time. I know tons of guys that have dated their PCAs because, you know, like, I don't know, but a lot of women like don't mind having guys that need to be have help. So a lot of women just don't care. Some women do, but a lot of don't. It's just a matter of finding the right style of woman that works well for
and
you.
I think with me, like, you know, that was, you know, I mean, you've been in the blogger game a lot longer than I have, so mm-hmm. I don't know, like, you know, you write posts that get criticism and stuff.
It happens a lot.
The most criticism I've ever got was my dating posts where they were,
right?
there was vitriol, you know. It was
people
like,
love to talk about dating online.
Huh?
Oh, dating posts always get a lot of comments, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, it's, you know, your quote-unquote take is BS, like you're using your disability as a crutch. And, like, the last thing I wanted with that dating post was to have it come across like, you know, whining me and my disability. But, you know, the whole point was just to hit the highlights of,
well,
of,
it is
of
true.
Like, you know, my dating struggles. And I just, like, my dating struggles over the years have been a lot of just specific circumstances. Like, I went to college at a time where there were a bunch of, like, snooty chicks, and I knew it was my college because I went down to Madison for a night once with a couple friends, and there was this girl that was just, like, hot after me. I remember, like, one of my best friends, she was hanging out with us, and she whispered in his ear and smiled at me and walked away. I was like, what was that? He said, oh, she thinks you're cute. And then, like, later on, we're going back to his place, and she's, you know, pushing my chair, which is laughable because it's a power chair, but I'm letting her.
Oh, man.
I'm
you
like,
know.
She wants to help. Push away, babe, you know. And she's just like, so you get hit on all the time at Eau Claire? What? I'm like, never. And then I was bummed. I'm like, I'm totally at the wrong college. And when I started law school, it was, you know, like my second chance at
right.
smart, intelligent, beautiful, like, you know, like career-driven women. And like my first night in class, I kind of assessed that pretty much everyone there were like older, you know, married, engaged, and like the handful that were my age and cute, like, weren't interested. So, you know, it's just like all these, you know, sets of circumstances where, you know, like, it's not like I'm not trying hard enough. It's just, it just seems like the last decade or whatever I've been relationshipless is, it just, it, you know, it's just, it's, like I said earlier, mm-hmm. I'm just, my life has always kind of been these weird, inexplicable sets of circumstances that just factor in, and, you know, it's, kind of
right.
Keep plugging away and break through, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, well, you always, you know, everyone has bad circumstances, though, that they have, you know, too. I mean, look at, I've been screwed over, too, and I've managed to get lucky, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know? The other thing is, like, it just gets frustrating because you just, like, it seems like the closest I ever get to relationships where, you know, it starts off, you become friends, there's, you know, like, you're texting back and forth or calling or instant messaging or whatever, and, like, things are kind of leading down a certain path, and you're, you know, being the guy friend slash mm-hmm. carefully flirting, and, you know, like, you just, you're trying to make plans, and, like, things seem to lead down a certain path, and then next thing you know, the girl's, like, dating someone else, or, you know, got engaged, or, you know, like whatever the situation is, where
that's
you're just
the
like,
game.
What the hell? Like, what about this whole, I thought we were going down a certain path thing, and you just kind of feel like the token, you know, like, disability guy friend. I don't know, it's kind of equates,
well,
it kind of equates to, like, what is it, like, my best friend's wedding where Rupert Everett was Julia Roberts, mm-hmm. like, no gay friend. You know, you kind of feel that, except in the disability sense.
You know, and that can happen, and I'm sure it does happen. And now you gotta just, like, next time you meet a chick, you gotta just, like, ask her right away. Just go, like, you know what? You know? Go, you know, I'm looking for someone that's, you know, well-intentioned, you know, and that I'm serious about looking for something, you know, that's going to be meaningful, you know, so, you know, and so I, you know, and I totally understand if, you know, this is something that might be hard to deal with, but just let's be open and just try to have open communication right in the beginning.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that kind of happened recently. There was someone I've liked for quite a while, and it was just like all these circumstances kind of dictated that it was like inappropriate to come forth about my feelings or ask her out, and then it was like somewhere mm-hmm. along the way, it was a combination of I missed my opportunity slash, you know, she just wasn't as interested, and, you know, those kind of things suck when it's a girl that, you know, you feel like is dream girl material, and it just kind of fizzles out. And, I, you know, I think there's a certain sense when you have a disability, you maybe get a little too overeager, you know, like, you just feel like these perfect, supposedly perfect people just don't come along as often, so, like...
Right, and so when you think they do...
When you feel that rejection, it's just like, well, if this perfect person for me rejected me...
It's so hard. You have to have a really thick skin when you're...
No, I do have a thick skin, but it's like, you know, like I said, with one of the comments that really struck a chord with me on that Easy Stamp post was they said, look, like, you're using your crutch as... your disability as a crutch for your lack of confidence with women. And it was like, on the one hand, I did my lawyerly reply of like, well, sure, you know, like, this is why it's not true. But at the other hand, it's like, I do have a certain lack of confidence, like, mm-hmm. meeting women and stuff, because for 10 or 12 years, like, I haven't been with anyone, and, you know, like, mm-hmm. I've hardly been approached, and haven't been asked out, and I'm not saying, like, I sit around and wait for women to approach me, but, you know, you go mm-hmm. a decade long of, like, you know, hardly anyone saying, you know, we should get a drink or whatever. You just, you know, just totally
so go out and make you need to go to some, like, I think you need to go to, like, a boot camp for, like, to get you kind of jump started, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, that, you know, the thing, the one of the things I said on that Easy Stand post is how I just haven't done the internet dating thing for a bunch of reasons, and, you know, like, if anything,
yeah.
all the critical comments mm-hmm. that came out about it, it's just, like, I've kind of come around to it. I'm like, well, I'll probably give it a try.
I think you should. And I think you need to realize that it's a, you know, it's the game, man. You got to play the game.
Yeah.
And don't let it crush you. Do not let it crush you anymore.
I mean, that's the best way to probably showcase your skills. You know, you could obviously,
yes.
you know, they can read my profile.
Yes.
And they could see
and always in the first paragraph, always say, I have a wheelchair. Say it off right away. Just say, you know what? I have a spinal cord injury. That I acquired as a teenager, and this is it, you know, and I'm still living and doing, you know, all this in my life, and if you can't deal with it, that's cool. Don't be a jerk about it. Go, it's cool, but then, you know, please don't message me, or whatever. Don't even say that, but whatever.
I mean, I've never been, like, full of myself or narcissistic, but I do know, confidence-wise, or I know enough about myself that, like, I've got a pretty good package, you know.
Listen,
like,
you have a lot to offer. You're attractive. You are very intelligent. You're actually, you know, we were saying earlier, you sound like you're very, almost very independent, and you are, there's a lot of guys out there just like you that have families, and they're married to beautiful women, some in wheelchairs, some that can walk, and if they can all do it, why can't you? Think
right.
about
so
that.
One of the things is either relationship, like the mantra mm-hmm. I've always had for myself in relationship or job wise, is I always tell people when I'm kind of lamenting my struggles, as I say, I just hope to get that ideal situation and just look back someday and just laugh, like, oh, I remember when I...
You'll be all, I was crying myself a river, you know, whatever. You know, you'll find somebody. I've been there, and it's crazy, and it's hard, especially in Minneapolis. It feels like it's very lonely sometimes.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, you know, like, I'm on a pretty strict budget, so it's hard to, like, go out to, like,
yep.
bars and can I buy you a drink? And, you know, I guess...
No, that's a stupid way to meet people. You cannot do that. Do not meet people like that.
And, you know, I guess the other thing that's something psychologically I just have to get over, but, you know, like, one of my biggest fears when it comes to, like, meeting able-bodied women is I just don't want to come across as, like, you know, the weird dude in the chair or whatever. And part of that is...
You're thinking about your wheelchair too much, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
You do. You. What if they just see your smile right away? And they're like, oh, yeah, he's in a wheelchair, too. You know, you have to think that. Not everyone sees the chair right away.
I've got a good smile, son.
Yeah, you have to think that.
Hopefully they see that first.
Yes,
you know?
Honestly, not everyone is so focused as you may think, really.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. I mean, we could talk about this for a really long time, but you know what? You're going to meet... And I think I'm glad you're going to do the internet thing, because that'll be weird for you, and you know, and it will be a little bit easier because, like, you can, like, plan it out a little bit better, so that way it can be something that'll work for you for, like, your, you know, like, you know, you're saying, like, going out and, like, buying stuff or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but have you gone out on a date yet? Have you even tried it yet with a chick?
I mean, it's just, like I said, circumstance-wise.
Okay, have you talked to anybody yet?
Huh?
Have you emailed anyone yet online on the site? Have you gotten to that point?
Well, I mean, I kind of asked someone out recently, and it kind of landed with a thud. So then it's just
that's all right.
You just
keep trying.
You don't really have the confidence to go
dude,
back.
Dude, you just keep trying.
I kind of went on a date for drinks last February, mm-hmm. but I think I was of the understanding it was just kind of like we reconnected as friends from the past, and we went out for drinks, and I think in her mind it was like a drink date, because as soon as we were wrapped up, like, I didn't pay for the whole thing, and I didn't hear from her after that.
Oh, no.
That was the date. And if she's going to be pissy because I didn't pick up the tab, then she
oh,
won for me anyway.
That's funny. That's classic miscommunication. But no, you know, I think internet dating, I'm a huge proponent of it, and I've done it. I think I've only met a couple guys that, you know, it's hard to meet people.
Well, I have a friend with muscular dystrophy that's been doing the OkCupid.com.
Yep, OkCupid.com, free dating site.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, let's do the free thing first. And I know I said, well, all right, he's had marginal success. And I
know who you're talking about. I know this guy. He's really nice.
I asked him a couple of weeks ago. I was like, so, all right, what's that site? Like, I'm going to look into it because it just seems like, you know, everything else I'd kind of been hoping for girl-wise was kind of tapping out. And he sent it to me. I logged in to just kind of poke around, and I saw there was a category for married people seeking quote-unquote friends, and I was like, all right, you know.
Oh, yeah, those, that category.
I logged off. I'm like, oh, my God, like, give me a break. Like, this for me. And that was just the mood I was in. I mean, I'll probably go back and start there because I really can't afford the $35,
$50. Just go on. Let's go on there. You're, it's okay. It's normal to, like, be weirded out by that, but that's, like, not really a huge part of the site. There's a lot of really cool girls on there, so a lot of cool chicks, a lot of cute local girls that are on there, so you should totally go on there.
Then, you know, it doesn't hurt to throw, like, a...
Like, I have a couple girlfriends on there that would probably like you that you should go on there for.
Oh, do tell.
I don't know how picky you are. Are you one of those guys that wants, like, a perfect-looking girl?
I don't know. I mean, I've got, like, you know, my standards, but I'm open-minded, too.
I mean, I'm not saying you should date a whale because you're in a wheelchair. I'm not saying that.
Right, yeah.
No. I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, are you open to, like, other races or, like, you know, are you open to, like, girls that, you know, are a little overweight, maybe?
Could be. And, you know, I know one of the phrases that my dad and my, an old friend of mine used to say, they were like, dude, beggars can't be choosers, and that always pissed me off.
You're not a beggar.
I'm
no.
Quad, like,
but I think you should be more open to different types since you're paralyzed, because you never know what kind of type's going to fit, and that was always the problem that I was running into, is that I thought that I should date a sci-fi geek type guy that was also, like, really intelligent and liberal, because we would also think on the same wavelength, and it would be, like, the perfect type of guy for me, and then he would also be smart enough to overlook the fact that I was in a wheelchair. And then I realized that you can't, that type wasn't, that really wasn't the right type for me, because I kept having hit and misses with that. And then I was like, I need to actually date more of a guy from the country, which I never in a million years would think that would actually have worked for me. But in many ways, the non-city guy for me is shown to be a better solution, because they're sweeter and they don't play the game with me. You know, they're
well,
more.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like you have your quote-unquote type, and the next thing you know, you meet someone through friends.
Yeah, totally different type.
And cute, and you're like, well, maybe my type isn't so structured.
Yeah, and that's why I think I always tell everyone, open up to your different types. You never know who's going to make you happy. And that's at the end of the day.
That's the thing. Is like, you know, I guess I call it criticism. Maybe it wasn't. People are calling me out on my stuff, but, you know, with that dating post. But the thing that came out with it was that it did definitely open my eyes to, you know, putting forth my effort and areas that, as of now, I haven't. So, you know, it's like
good. It's all right.
It's like you know, like they say with chicks, it's like you got the biological clock is ticking. Well, I'm 32, going on 32. Like I got the dude clock.
Well, stop comparing yourself. You're in Minnesota. There's a lot of guys on the coast that don't have kids until they're like 40. You know.
Well, you know, I guess the thing for me is like my parents waited 7 years to have me, and my dad was 30, and my mom was 28, and I'm 32, and like. You know, it's stupid, but it's just one of those things where I feel like now that I'm 32 and I'm still not with anyone, I feel like I'm 2 years behind, like...
There's a lot of women out there.
Men or something like that.
You know what? There's a lot of women out there that want to have babies and that, you know, you want to have kids, and I think that's super cool, actually, that you want to have kids. I should have mentioned that. I know that. For me, I've always hesitated, and I probably won't, because for me, I just don't want to deal with the work of it. But I think that's cool that you want to be a dad, and you know for sure that you do. So many guys don't even know, you know?
Well, that's why I feel like the clock I mentioned, like, I know I'm at 32, halfway to 33. It's like, if I meet someone tomorrow, it's going to take, what, like, maybe a year to make sure we're the one, or maybe for a year, and then you sneak up on, are we secure enough to have kids? And when you're a quad, it's like, the chances are that you're probably not going to be able to get her pregnant, like, through conventional means. It's probably going to, like, science has got to intervene, and that's going to take time and expense. So it's like, the longer I've gone relationship-less, it's like, the more I'm like, God, God, I'm not going to have kids till I'm 35. You should. You feel like you're the old dad by then or something.
Oh, man, that's not old dad. That's not that old.
But that's just kind of the crap I wrestle with.
Oh, I know it. And I think that. And nowadays, 35 isn't that old, so I think you got that in your favor.
Well, the other thing is like, as desperate as I've been to, like, have a relationship or, like, meet someone or get married and start having kids, it's like, if I really sit back and think, am I ready to be married?
Do you even want that?
Totally not, you know?
Do you even want that? I think what you probably want is just someone right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like...
You just want a girl.
It's like... Not in the wham bam thank you ma'am right now.
No. You just want a girlfriend. You just want a companion. You want a girlfriend.
Sometimes I just kind of feel like a dumb girl where it's just like the thing I miss the most is like the companionship and the fact that there's someone else.
That's not stupid.
Thinking of you and you know when you have the crappiest day ever, she's your biggest supporter and like she's going to be hot for you and she's going to love you and pick you up. And
that's what everyone wants in a relationship. That's why people get in relationships is you have someone
thing.
That's
and
there.
Sex would be awesome, but that's just kind of the thing I think about. I've kind of missed out on that female best friend companionship, and it's about,
and that's great. It'll happen. And honestly, going online is just such a great idea. You know, you should try eHarmony.com because that's where all the people that are like want to have like what you're talking about, like whatever relationships, except. They rejected me. They rejected me because I answered the questions too honest and I was too depressed at the time.
That's enough reason for me to say screw them.
Yeah, they said that I was too depressed and that I wasn't suitable for a relationship at the time.
What the hell is the point of a dating site?
I was like, whatever. I'm like, they're like, do you feel down some days? Yes, sometimes or whatever. I was like, sometimes? And you know, because when you're disabled, sometimes you are. Or even if you're not.
Yeah.
So they're like, whatever. I don't know. But OkCupid.com is a good website. And
part of me was honestly, like, I know you got the dating advice.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to do more of dating advice. So maybe I'll do more of it. It's fun to talk about this stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, part of me felt like I was going to wait until we talked and kind of get your take on it and see what you thought was credible. And it's good to know that the site that I was like, married people seeking friends was dumb. Giving the thumbs up.
I've used OkCupid. I have. And I met guys on there. And some guys on there were great. And some were total douchebags. But that happens with every other site, like Match.com even. It happens on every site. There's douchebags on every dating site, and there's great guys on every dating site. Same thing with girls. It's just, you know, you got to just filter them out. You got to just make sure you talk to them before you meet them in person a little bit. Craigslist is even a place people have met, you know, and it's free. You can post an ad, male looking for female, and or just relationships. The relationships, serious.
A few times I've been to Craigslist and I've looked at those relationship stuff. It just gets weird.
Well, for guys, it's kind of bad, but I've known girls that have posted ads on there that have like, you know, I'm like an NPR chick and I like to go to the Birchwood Cafe and all this stuff and you know, reply if you're interested. And like these girls will get like tons of responses and then they will go on dates with some of these guys and they'll find like-minded guys on Craigslist. It happens.
Interesting.
It's funny.
I know someone that's...
But, you know, and I think it's a matter of just trying every place because it's just really... You just got to, like, try different areas to meet this finally until you meet, you know, find somebody. It's not easy finding somebody, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the post I did for that, and I did, like, a sex post on my own blog recently. It's, like, the interesting thing about it is, like, those are the two most personal things I've ever written, and those are the two most things that got, like, the most comments, and, you know, negative or otherwise, it's also, like, opened my mind more in years than anything else has, so.
Well, it's good, and I hope that you should definitely blog about your dates that you have coming up, which I'm sure we'll have some, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've written so many personal, like, long blog posts recently, like, I'm kind of burnt out, so I'm looking for, like, a different avenue to kind of do some, like, shorter spurt posts.
Yeah, you know? I know. Well, just keep asking, like, girls out on the site, like, you should get up on there, put a nice photo of yourself, be funny in the ad, don't be all super serious, be lighthearted, you know, and people love that because you can make fun of yourself, people love that, and they're more comfortable around you, and you know, and then just start setting out little winks on OkCupid, you send winks to girls, that's how you flirt on there at first.
Well, you know, I guess one of my total assets is a good sense of humor. And
yes, do that.
The charm thing, like that's definitely a dating asset, I have disability or not.
Yep, and go from there, but I think it'll work for you. I have faith.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. And you have good thumbs up.
Okay. So it's hard, and I know a lot of guys out there can probably relate, actually. I'm going to be doing a new column coming up on my website for dating column, and there's this guy that he wrote me a question, and it's kind of similar to what we're talking about, actually, right now, about having a hard time.
Yeah, well, you know, as much as I got some, you know, sometimes negative comments on my Easy Stamp post, I think during that week, like, you know, I took it too personal, and I was being dumb about it, but the thing that gave me the most solace was when I saw that you started your column and did that post about, you know, wheelchair equals ugly and the injustices of dating, and I'm like,
yeah,
you know, someone else is in my corner, you know?
Yes, I am, and it's true. It's totally true, because the fact of the matter is, we do have, the odds are against us, so we have to work against them, and that's why I'm stressed so heavily to dabble in more than just one dating site, because the more hooks you have out there, the higher chances you are of meeting someone that will be cool enough to overlook the wheelchair, if you will. So that's really what you have to, like, think of it mathematically, even, you know, because it is, you're right, we have, the odds are against us, and people can bark and moan that that's being, you know, negative, but it's just true. It's not negative, it's true.
I mean, that was my whole point. I was just like, you know, this is why it's happened, you know, like a struggle for me. I'm not like, you know, I don't go to bed crying because, you know, poor disability me. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's your facts are, you're at a disadvantage. You just can't.
You are, absolutely, without question, and you're working against that from day one. And if you can, you know, you can work, you can overcome it. That's the good news. But it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder, and it takes a while. It's definitely not easy. But I think nowadays, though, it seems like I don't know. Maybe there's more people that seem to be a little bit more cool with it. Maybe it's because of Glee, or I don't know. I'm just kidding. But like, disability seems to be a little bit more like people are becoming, I mean, it's a little bit more comfortable, like just average everyday Joes seem to be.
I get that sense too. I don't know about the.
I don't know why, but just somehow it seems that way. Yeah, I'm all about it, you know. Like, and it's cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird out there trying to talk to people, and when I've had guys come up to me and check me out, and I know that if I was walking, you know, I'd probably have. I had a lot better luck, you know. Had a lot better luck when I meet guys.
Oh,
but
totally. I mean, you know, it's like I said. That's where the sci-fi, you know, like spaceship gate comes down. I know for a fact that, you know, had things been different, with, you know, my old,
not question,
my old looks, like I definitely wouldn't have gone until 32 without having a girlfriend or whatever. You know, it's just a fact.
I'm surprised though. You're still super cute, and there's a lot of guys out there that are not as cute as you, and then also are paralyzed. They're getting a lot more action.
Well, hopefully,
that's bullshit.
Well, hopefully, you know, at age 32,
sorry, I
like
swore.
2011 is a big year, and at 32, my fine wine is aging. You know,
fine wine's aging, and yeah, you need to go online. And I don't know. You should start going to my yoga classes. There's a lot of cool. You should start meeting girls that are like, you know, like that are like kind of cool like that, because you know. Maybe you're around too many snobby preppy girls, you know? That could be your problem.
I mean, you know, it's less so now, but, you know, like I said, like when you're job searching and you're not in school.
Well, then you're not meeting anybody then.
Like, it's hard to meet people face to face.
Right, you're just not out there. That's the thing. And then when you're out there, you make eye contact with a lady at Starbucks. Is that going to lead to something? You just, you know, that's the thing. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, this has been a really awesome talk, and I'm really glad to have you on, had you on, basically, because I really wanted a male perspective on this too for a while, and I'm glad we got it.
Yeah,
and you know, and you're blogging more, right? And you're doing more online media, so maybe we should have you on again, like on a regular, even like a semi-regular basis. We can talk about this dating thing again, you know, and
that'd be cool.
We could do that.
You know, I guess a lot of the topics in my mind we were going to cover when you invited me to be on, like, we haven't even touched on. So
like what?
Like, awesome. Like, I'm like one of those guys when it comes to, you know, I got a PhD in quad and in disability world. Like, you can pretty much pull the string of my back and you know, let me go.
All right. Well, I always think if someone's a lawyer, they don't want to talk about, like, certain, like, personal subjects, so.
Well, the adage about lawyers is they like to hear themselves talk. I'm not narcissistic, but, you know, considering the podcast we had that, from my account, went longer than it was supposed to.
It did.
I guess I'm within that stereotype.
That's well. Usually the podcast we've been doing, been running about an hour. This is a little bit longer, like hour 20. That's okay, though. I'm sure people out there will listen to the entire show because That's what people do, it seems. They'll listen to the whole show. It doesn't matter how long it is. This is good, because it's a good show. It's good, you know? The conversation flows, so it's all good.
Yeah, whatever you want me.
All right. Well, definitely. We'll cover some more dating. We'll talk about... What else did you want to talk about? What else was it going to be? I forgot.
Oh, I don't know. I thought we'd dip into the, you know...
Sex. Yes, yeah, you know, I was shy. I probably avoided that topic on purpose today.
Well, I mean, you kind of blew your load a little bit with Rafe. Like, I could tell when you were online. It was the podcast equivalent of you blushing, you know? Like,
I love Rafe. I don't know.
He started using the C word to refer to his penis.
Whatever.
Your reaction was like, whoa. Like,
whatever.
But okay. Yeah, you know, whatever. I can talk about whatever.
All right, we'll have you on. We'll talk about sex or the lack thereof. Ha ha.
Yeah, that's more apropos, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll whatever. Think about it. And maybe we'll have some action to talk about next time, right?
Cool.
All right. Well, have a lovely evening.
Hey, you too.
And thanks again, Sean. Okay.
Yeah. Right on.
All right. Bye. See ya. Bye.